You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find out more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversations. And now, let's get on with today's show. I know myself when I became a mother, I had in my head things I wanted to make sure that I did with my daughters and things I knew I never wanted to do. There were times when I caught myself saying or doing things my mother or even my grandmother said or did that made me cringe, and I realized they were patterns of mothering that had been imprinted on me or I had been brought up with. Studies show that children learn by modeling behavior, starting as early as the age of one. For many mothers, we worry about the relationships with our daughters, and what we are learning is that the relationship a woman has with her own mother can dictate the relationship she will have with her own daughter, unless she learns to break certain patterns, model different behavior, or create new boundaries. Our guest today is Karen C. L. Anderson. Karen is a storyteller who believes that the truth never creates suffering and that all stories can be told through the lens of truth. She's also a feminist, a writer, speaker, workshop presenter, and a blogger who consciously chooses to live her life as an experiment and to view the world through the lens of curiosity and fascination. Her book, The Peaceful Daughter's Guide to Separating from a Difficult Mother, is an international bestseller, having sold well nearly 115,000 copies. Her next book, Difficult Mothers, Adult Daughters, A Guide for Separation, Inspiration and Liberation, is due out in early 2018. Okay, well, welcome, Karen. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thanks, Maria. I'm glad to be here.
So you wrote something for me that I found really interesting, and I kind of wanted to start out our conversation with it. So I'm just going to read it. When mothers are willing to take a compassionate and honest look at their relationship with their own mothers, it creates awareness around dysfunctional patterns that may have been passed down. Without that awareness, women will often parent in resistance to the way themselves were mothered, such as, I'll never treat my daughter the way my mother treated me, or I'm doing the opposite of what my mother did. And this can have unintended consequences. Being willing to look within and understand and honor ourselves and our experiences is one of the most powerful things that we can do, and modeling that process for our daughter is part of raising them to be powerful. Wow, I love that. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. So let me first say that I am not a biological mother. Like, I don't have my own children. I am a stepmom. And I started to see some of the dysfunctional patterns that I wasn't aware of, but they were starting to play themselves out in some of my relationships, including with my stepkids. And when I eventually woke up and, you know, started to take a look at some of these patterns, I realized, like, oh, wow, like, you know, this, I was unaware of this. It was like in me and I was unaware. And, you know, I have obviously taken a big, long, hard, and a continuous look at my relationship with my mother and some of the patterns that were passed down from her and from her mother. And, you know, in some cases, the patterns aren't necessarily bad, but in a lot of cases they are. And when we're unconscious to them, we just continue to play them out.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really interesting because a lot of what I've done and talked about and what I've researched is, you know, this whole idea where children start to learn by the behavior that we model, right? Before they're even able to talk to us, they're watching what we're doing and they're listening and hearing what we're saying. So many of these ways and patterns are ingrained in them before they can even speak. And it's definitely something that even I've seen. I've talked to my girls and all of a sudden I was like, wow, my mom just fell out of my mouth, like the same words. And sometimes I was like, it's okay. And sometimes I was like, oh, that didn't feel good. Can you talk a little bit about how women will sometimes parent in resistance?
Well, I mean, my own mother, I remember hearing her say, you know, throughout my entire life, you know, I don't want to be like grandma was, you know, meaning her mother. I want to have a different kind of relationship that with you than I had with her. That's what she would say. And I mean, I hear women say that all the time. And I don't think that they understand. I think what ends up happening is when we're not aware of the pattern, when we're just like, oh, I don't want to be like that, right? We're in resistance to, you know, reality because, you know, we are the way we are. Our mothers are the way they are. And simply saying, I don't want to be like that is it's like there's a piece of the equation missing, which is, well, who do I want to be? How do I want to show up as a mother? Right. And so when we're reacting or acting out of resistance, like saying, this is what I don't want, we haven't opened up the other side to say, well, what is it that I do want? And who do I want to be as a mother? And that's a much more powerful question and much more powerful way of, you know, showing up as a mother, modeling as well. So it's actually in the mothering, you know, and how you mother, but then the modeling of that, right? The modeling of saying, this is who I want to be.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, for me, I have some things that I want to do differently than my mother, but I can understand, and I'm sure it's probably come out of my mouth where I've said, well, I don't want to be like my mother, but it's not that I don't want to be like her in all ways. There's maybe just certain specific ways where I feel like there was something that was done in a way that I don't agree with now. So trying to find that and point that out. What do you think when women say that and say they say that to their daughter, you know, I don't want to be like grandma. What do you think that's causing the problem the damage that I could be done?
Well, I can kind of, I mean, it's interesting. I'll just speak to my own personal story. Again, as I said, my mom would say things like that. And it's funny because in my book, I have there's a scene that I write about that stands out very clearly in my mind of, I was probably in my, you know, early 20s, and my mom is standing in the front yard and she's holding a letter in her hand and she's about to put it in the mailbox. And she says, I'm divorcing grandma. And, you know, this was back in the mid 80s, right? So there was no internet, there was no email. But what's funny is that I eventually played out that same exact scenario, except it was via email, right? Like, so what she was modeling for me was when, you know, when you've got a problem with your mother, you divorce her, right? And so, I mean, I'm not saying that I did the same thing because she did it, but like, you know, and this isn't really fair to say, but my impression is that she wasn't aware of any other way to handle it.
Right.
You know, so I played out the same exact pattern and, you know, my mom has kind of divorced lots of people in her family. And, you know, before I was as aware of the patterns as I am now, that was my go-to as well, was to be like, okay, I'm just cutting them out of my life.
Right.
And so one of the things that I want to say is that sometimes it's absolutely the right decision for a woman to not see her mother or have contact with her mother. Like that's, you know, I don't say you shouldn't do that or you should do that. But I think what happens is when we are taking that action from an unconscious place and it's not a clean place, if you will, like we're doing it because we believe that they're evil or horrible or, you know, versus having like just really, really good boundaries.
Right. So boundaries, talk to me about creating boundaries.
Well, one of my favorite expressions, I've studied boundaries with a woman named Randy Buckley, who has created a methodology that I'm certified in, and it's called Healthy Boundaries for Kind People. And the simplest way of putting it is that your boundaries are your values in action. And it's not about what you want to keep out, it's about what you want to see more of in the world, what values you want to amplify. And the clearer you are about what you value, the clearer you are in your boundaries and what you will tolerate and not tolerate. So a lot of times people think of boundaries as something that's deployed in the moment, like a weapon, like you get pissed off and you throw up a boundary. And that's actually an indication that you don't have boundaries.
Right, right.
So
how do we, you know, a lot of our, my audience is, you know, moms that are raising powerful girls. And, you know, I myself am raising two, and I've been working a lot on boundaries recently for myself, in work, with my social life. And it's something that I think is something that women struggle with a lot, is having healthy boundaries, that if they say no to something, they're going to be perceived as weak or not doing enough. And it spills into so many different aspects of their lives in a negative way. So when we're looking at the mother-daughter relationship, can you talk a little bit more about how to set up those boundaries, how maybe mothers should have boundaries with their daughters and daughters with their mothers, and fostering that relationship so she learns to have those healthy boundaries?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, the reason why we have such a hard time saying no and all of that is because generation after generation after generation of women have had that, you know, same issue, right? And the, you know, this is why a lot of times mothers are manipulative, right? It's because they don't know how to come right out and say, this is what I prefer, or I don't want that, you know, or this is what I need, this is what I want. Like, women were taught that having a preference and being able to say it out loud and declare it was wrong and bad. You're not allowed to do that. So it makes sense that we have that difficulty with setting boundaries and saying no. And I think understanding that dynamic is actually helpful, because then you're like, oh, okay, well, if it's a pattern, then I can change it. And so having powerful boundaries as a mother automatically, again, as you said, shows your daughter she's watching. And so she's listening to you on the phone and the PTA calls or whatever, and they say, hey, can you make cookies for the next bake sale? And you like, no, you don't, that's not your gig, right? And so you say, you know, no, I can't, or I choose not to, or I, you know, I'm not sure what language you would want to use in that case. But like, the point is that in that moment, if you know that you're a person who doesn't want to make cookies for the bake sale, you can easily say no. You can easily say no, and your daughter will watch you, and she gets it. You know, she sees you doing it. She sees you having the boundary. But it's also important to know that boundaries go way beyond saying no, right? So, like I said, if boundaries are your values in action, and say you value respect, right? So in saying no to the PTA lady, you know, you do it in a respectful way. You're employing respect, and you in your response. That right there is the model of the boundary. You know, that respect is the bottom line here, right? Or if you value humor, or you value acceptance, or, I mean, you know, whatever it is you value, right? Being clear about that and infusing those values into your interactions in support of the behavior you want to see around you, right? That's priceless.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, when you're talking about that, I kind of see some of the ways that I'm trying to do that. And I never realized that that's what I'm doing. I'm someone that I want my daughters to grow up really having a strong sense of identity of who they are. And because of that, I understand that there are going to be things in life that I may say, or I may do, that they don't like. And I want them to be okay with disagreeing with me on things and having their own opinions. But it's important to me that when we're having conversations, that it's done from a respectful way. So my oldest got upset with me the other day because I had asked her to do something several times and she just wasn't listening. And I think she was either with the iPad or the television, and I turned it off and I took it away from her. And she got very angry at me. And I said, I understand you're frustrated, but you need to lower the tone of your voice and have a conversation with me. And she was you know, she was tired, way overtired, and she was off the wall crying. And I just said to her, when you're ready to have the conversation, I will have the conversation with you. I understand you're angry at me. That's okay. And that was me setting up a boundary, because I don't like to be yelled at, and I don't like it when people raise their voice at me. And I'm very happy to have conversations with people, very passionate and heated conversations with people with difference of opinions. And I'm fine with difference of opinions, but it has to come from a place of respect. I don't want to be cursed at. I don't want to be demeaned. I don't want to be called names.
Yeah.
And so I think teaching her that behavior of, it's okay for you to be angry, but I'm not willing to talk to you until you can calm down a little bit, is my boundary. And,
yeah,
and seeing that.
It's funny, because the sort of like two ways that I teach how to communicate boundaries are very simple. One is you make a request of somebody, like, please don't yell at me. And if, and there's like a consequence, which would be, or a result, like, if you continue to yell at me, I will leave the room, you know, or I'll hang up the phone or whatever it is. And then another way you can do it is you can make a request. And this sounds like what you did. You can make the request, please stop yelling at me, and then explain the benefit, right? Of, if you comply, if you stop yelling, I'll be able to better understand what you're trying to communicate to me. Like, and that'll benefit our relationship. So it's like either request consequence or request benefit.
Right. And that's really great. And, you know, being able to model that behavior and being able to kind of model these patterns when they're little, because you can do that with a 2-year-old, mm-hmm. and you can say, because my 2-year-old is the firecracker that when she gets angry, it's rage. And so in my house, I would never make her stop raging, because that's what she would feeling. Mm-hmm. And to me, who am I to say, you can't feel angry right now about it? I can be thinking to myself, like, this is ridiculous that I gave you the purple cup instead of the red cup, and you're raging. But I would guide her by the hand while she was raging, or sometimes I had to physically pick her up and bring her to her room. And I would say, I understand you're angry. You can stay in here and you can be angry as long as you would like. And when you're ready to come out, I will sit with you and we will talk. And where a lot of parents would be shushing the behavior or stop it or yell back, you know, we acknowledge the behavior. We say, we understand you feel that way, because you can never just, for me, it's not my place to ever tell someone how they should feel. That's within them. But again, it was setting up the boundary for her of what's acceptable, what I can handle, what I cannot handle.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that, you know, and I see this so much. I have a stepdaughter who's 32, and she has 2 little ones. And a big difference I see in the generations, and I'm sure that there were, you know, people my mother's age and people my age who got this, but I think many didn't, which is that whole idea of letting people feel what they feel without trying to change it or fix it or make it, like, I think a lot of times if a child is feeling sad or angry or, you know, any of the negative emotions, we parents, mothers often make it mean that they did something wrong. Right. And no, it's just because your child is human, your child is going to feel all the human emotions that are available to her. Right. And that is powerful. I actually heard something recently that just so spoke to me. And that is that true self-confidence comes from knowing that you can feel any emotion.
Right.
And deal with it. And like, the earth isn't going to open up and swallow you whole if you feel ashamed. Right.
Right. And it's learning to feel that emotion and process it and continue to move forward. That's going to create the resiliency that we need in children, right? Because, you know, that resiliency is stretching of those emotions and coming back to center.
And that's why, like, modeling that, right? I mean, you know, what my mother modeled around emotion was drink it away, basically, right, with alcohol.
Right. So let's talk about the mother teenager complex, right? Because you're at that stage where you have a mother and she has a teenage daughter, and teenage girls are kind of in a world of their own, and they're dealing with so much pressure that's put on by society and everything. And there is that, you know, kind of pull that teenage girls need to go through. They need to separate from their mother, from that identity of their mother to be able to have their own identity. You know, when we're talking about boundaries and we're talking about, you know, being a peaceful daughter, or, you know, having a relationship with our daughter, what are some things that moms should be thinking about to help foster that independence that they need, but still creating those healthy boundaries and understanding, you know, what kind of their girls are going through, that they need to do some of that?
Well, again, I think if you can look at your own relationship with your mother when you were a teen and what that was like, right? And, you know, okay, here's the things I don't want to do. Like, it's not wrong to say, yeah, I don't want to do it that way. But again, it's like, what do I want to do? And I think what one of the biggest mistakes I think that mothers make is that they take their daughter's behavior personally, right? They make it mean I've done something wrong, or that, you know, she's a bad person. Like, she'll, you know, I mean, I remember feeling with my stepkids at times, like, you know, like they're doomed, right? Like they've done one like thing or whatever. And you're like, oh my God. And, you know, we take it personally. We take their behavior personally. And I think that's like the number one thing as a parent of a teen is, you know, don't take it personally. You know, yes, you can still have consequences for bad behavior, right? And you can have boundaries and guidelines and rules, or what, you know, however you want to put it around. I don't know. It's, I hate to say, I don't really know what the big hot button issues are, but I would guess it's like social media and, you know, devices and all that, you know, when are they allowed to use it? Who are they allowed to go out with? You know, all that normal stuff. But, you know, if the kid breaks the rule, you know, or pushes the boundary, which they're going to do, you don't take it personally. Right. And I actually knew a woman who once said something like, when your kid is, you know, breaking the rules or whatever, pretend like you're up for an Academy Award for being neutral. Right? And just respond, you know, okay, yep, you didn't meet your curfew, so here's the consequence, you know, very calm.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's something that's, I think, hard for mothers, especially when they're looking at their daughters, right? Because anything that they do, we do tend to take things personally. We kind of have to take that step back and remember they're kids still. They're testing boundaries. It's how they know that they're loved and that they're safe, is testing those boundaries, right? And that's why it's important for them to do it.
Another interesting thing that comes, I think, specifically with girls, and this is something that I, you know, have read a lot about, and it's the idea that basically in our DNA, in women's DNA, is going back centuries and centuries, is the fear that if we or our daughters are somehow outside what's considered acceptable and okay, whether it's how they look or how they behave or what they say or what they do, right? That basically they're going to be burnt at the stake.
Right.
Right. And this goes, again, back centuries. And it's kind of interesting to see how over time, you know, back at the beginning of the 19th century or the 20th century, I read a novel, I don't know, about a year ago, about a young woman growing up, you know, in the, like, the 1900s, and she was a Spitfire, you know, and she was smart, and her father, she didn't want to get married, and her father forced her into a mental home. I mean, I can't remember what they call it, like an asylum or whatever. And, you know, they were like basically kept her there because she had a spirit and she was, you know, outside of what was considered normal. And so, you know, and nowadays you see it happening on social media, right? Where women are threatened and harassed and coerced. And so that behavior, right? When somebody sort of dares to do, you know, do the thing that, you know, women aren't supposed to do that, it's basically, and so in the back of a mother's mind, without her being aware of it, is, oh my God, if my daughter wears too short of a skirt, right? She's going to be burned at the stake, or if she, you know, whatever it is. And so that fear, without being aware of that fear, that's when we start to squash our daughter's spirits.
Well, thank you so much, Karen. It was so great to have you. I hope our listeners found this taboo topic enlightening and have picked up some new ideas, insights, and tips along the way. To find out more about Karen, you can find her at kclanderson.com. To hear the rest of this interview, as we further explore this complex dynamic, please join our community at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. And become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts, exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details.
Thanks for joining us. This is the EWN Podcast Network.